تكن مؤمرا. وأحب للناس ما تحب لنفسك تكن مسلما. ولا تكثر الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك تميت القلب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, in the hadith that was mentioned, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that on one occasion, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an announcement amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The i'lan and announcement, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that who is going to, مَنْ يَأْخُذُ عَنِّي بِهَاُولَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ, who is going to hold fast to these pieces of advice that I am about to give and practice on it, or teach it to someone who will practice on it. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately volunteers. He immediately says, Ana, I will do so. The muhaddithin explain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this announcement, he mentions that who's going to hold on to these advices? In other words, who's going to take them to heart? Who's going to take these advices seriously? So seriously that he will practice them, he will practice on them, implement them in his own life. And together with that, one explanation of the hadith, together with implementing them in his own life, then he will also teach it to others who will also go on to practice on it. For example, a person takes his advices home and he shares it with his family, his close friends, his associates. And like that, he becomes a means of Islam and deen spreading to someone else as well. And one explanation of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person himself practices on it, on these five advices, and if a person for some reason is unable to practice on one of them or some of them, then at the very least, he teaches it to someone else who will practice on it. Nevertheless, Abu Huraira radiallahu an, he volunteers and he says that I will take these five advices from you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes hold of his hand, and the muhaddithin explain as though this was a form of bayat, and a form of a pledge of allegiance that has been taken from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu to emphasize the importance of these advices, and so that he will take it even more seriously, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes hold of his hand, and thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to mention these five advices. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first advice he mentions, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ, that stay away from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Stay away from the forbidden things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ, and you will become the greatest abid, the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. Many a times a person thinks that to become pious, to become a very great abid, and to get a very close position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this lies in lot of nawafil, in giving a lot of money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, charity, performing a lot of nafal salah, and reciting a lot of Quran. Why is these things are definitely great acts, and these are also acts of virtue, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is drawing our attention to something else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is highlighting a much more important aspect, an aspect that perhaps is very neglected. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if a person refrains from the haram acts, from those acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, then this is how you will gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you will become the greatest abid and the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama explain one way of understanding this, that if a person, no matter how much of ibadah he engages in, no matter how much of salah he performs, no matter how much of money he gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if he does not stay away from sin, from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will be a means of him wiping out all the sawab and reward that he had acquired through the virtuous acts that he performed. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, لَأَعْلَمَنَّ أَقْوَامًا مِّنْ أُمَّتِي يَأْتُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِحَسَنَاتِ أَمْسَالِ جِبَالِ تِهَامَةَ بَيْضَى. That I know a group of people from my ummah, I know of certain individuals, on the day of Qiyamah they will come with good deeds similar to the mountains of Tihama. In other words, Tihama was a place in Arabia. In other words, they will come with such a large amount of good deeds and hasanat that will resemble mountains. فَيَجْعَلُهُ اللَّهُ هَبَاءً مَنْسُورًا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make their mountains of good deeds like scattered dust. Sauban radiallahu ta'anhu, the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks, صِفْهُمْ لَنَا, that Ya Rasulullah, tell us who these people are, so that we will be able to refrain from suffering a similar outcome and a similar fate. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that these are people who spend long hours at night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night. In other words, they engage in a lot of ibadat. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ إِذَا خَلُوا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ إِنْتَهَكُوهَا. But when they are in private, when they get a chance to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah forbid, they fall into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They indulge in sin and evil and vice. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe away and erase their mountains of a'mal and their mountains of good deeds. So this is one aspect that the ulama have explained in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person should stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this alone will, and this will be a great means in him becoming the greatest abid and the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. Another aspect that the ulama explain, that a person, together with staying away from sin, then he will have to also fulfill the fara'id and the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obligations of Islam. It should not be that a person, for example, he hasn't discharged his zakat, but he is spending a lot of nafal and optional wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, this is the height of foolishness for a person to engage in nawafil, in voluntary acts of worship, when he hasn't completed his fara'id, he hasn't completed the obligations of deen, he is spending large amounts of wealth in, for example, in going for umrah, etc. But he is owing people money. These are all necessary obligations, and these are all compulsory things that a person has to fulfill, and responsibilities that he must see to before he engages in nawafil. That is why in the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions that if my servant wants to come close to me, وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ وَمَا يَتَقَرَّبُ عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الْفَرَائِضِ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. That there isn't anything that a servant will be able to come close to me, to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there isn't anything more effective and more beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will take a person closer to Allah than the fara'id, than fulfilling the obligations of Islam, the compulsory actions in Islam. So this was the first advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to refrain from the prohibitions and those things that Allah has forbidden, and you will become the greatest abid, the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that warda bima qasama Allahu lak takun azna an-nas. And be happy and content with whatever Allah has given you. You will become the most wealthiest of people. Be happy, be content with what Allah has given you, and you will become the most wealthiest of people. Because if a person has this ghina, this wealth of contentment, then this is everything. Otherwise, if a person doesn't have this wealth of contentment, then no matter how much of material wealth he has, then he will never ever be satisfied. And he will never ever be happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, also a hadith, a Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُسْلِحُ إِيمَانَهُ إِلَّا الْغِنَى. Some of my servants are such that their iman will never remain intact except if I keep them with wealth, except if I give them a lot of wealth. وَلَوْ أَفْقَرْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدَهُ ذَلِكَ. And if I were to test him with poverty, then that iman also would be in a problem, and then iman also would be at stake. And at the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, وَإِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِيمَانَهُ إِلَّا الْفَقْرِ. And some of my servants are such that iman will not remain intact except if I keep them in poverty. وَلَوْ أَغْنَيْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدَهُ ذَلِكَ. And if I were to give him a lot of wealth, then their iman will not remain intact. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what amount of wealth, what amount of health is best and most beneficial for a person. So it would be a person's good fortune to always be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, and to never ever complain about the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make any objection against the decree and decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ. If you were to place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you ought to, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would sustain you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would see to your needs like how He sustains a bird. تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. That bird, it leaves its nest in the morning with an empty stomach, and in the evening when it returns with a full stomach. In other words, with a little effort if a person will make, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him whatever amount of rizq and whatever amount of sustenance was decreed for him. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullah mentions that some people are such that they spend all their time in adopting asbab, in chasing after the wealth of this world. But at the end of all of their effort, at the end of all of their effort, the only thing that comes to them is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decreed for them. In other words, a person's rizq and the amount of wealth or health that is decreed for a person, he will only receive that much, not a rand more, not a rand less. So if a person will exercise himself and exert himself in seeking his rizq, then also only that amount of wealth will come to him which was decreed for him. An incident is mentioned about a famous alim by the name of Asma'i, Imam Asma'i rahimahullah. He says that on one occasion I came out of the masjid of Basra and I saw a Bedouin coming towards me, a villager, a very powerful person. He was riding his conveyance and he had his sword hanging from around his neck and his bow in one hand. So he comes up to me, he stops his conveyance and he asks that, where are you from? Who are you? So he says, I explained to him that I am from the tribe of Asma'. So he recognized me and he said, are you the famous Asma'i? So I said, yes. So he said to me, where are you coming from? So I said, I am coming from, he had just left the masjid. So he says, I am coming from the place where the kalam of Rahman, where the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, I am coming from a gathering where his kalam is recited. So the Bedouin was surprised. He said, what? Are you telling me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, has a speech that you and I can recite. So Asma'i rahimahullah, he says, yes. So the villager says, so recite something for me. So he begins to recite from the verses of Surah Dhariyat, وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى, until he reaches the verse, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوْعَدُونَ, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, that your sustenance is in the sky. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ, your sustenance is in the sky. So in this Bedouin, when he hears this verse, he says to Asma'i rahimahullah, enough. You may stop reciting. He turns to his conveyance and he slaughters that camel. On the spot he slaughters his animal, he skins it, and he asks Ismail to help him, and they distribute the meat immediately. Thereafter he breaks his sword and he breaks his bow and he heads off out of the town. So Asma'i rahimahullah was so surprised that this person, he heard this verse once, that wa fis sama'i rizqukum, that your rizq and sustenance comes from the sky, and it is decreed, it is the knowledge of the knowledge of how much of wealth and the amount of wealth that a person will receive in his life, this is already in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's already preserved before a person's creation also. So this Bedouin, he heads off and he leaves the town. Nevertheless, Asma'i rahimahullah mentions that after some time, it happened that he was going to Makkah Mukarrama for the purpose of Hajj. So he mentions that while we were making tawaf of the Ka'batullah, then I heard a voice, a soft voice, a person calling into my ear, greeting me. So he says, when I turned around, then I was shocked to see this very same Bedouin, this very same villager that I had met a few years ago. And now his condition had changed. He was a powerful man. Now he had become quite thin, and his complexion had changed. So he said to me, that recite some Quran for me. And he made me sit behind the Maqam-e Ibrahim. So Asma'i rahimahullah, he goes on. He recites the very same surah, Surah Al-Dhariyat, and he recites from the beginning of the surah until he comes to this same ayat, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ, that your sustenance is in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is already decreed in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he hears this, so the Bedouin says that we have found the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be true. In other words, I have found the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be 100% true. And whatever wealth was decreed for me, I received that amount. Thereafter, he asks him to continue reciting. So Asma'i rahimahullah continues reciting the next verse. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقْ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, not by anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by himself, that by the qasam, by the oath of the Rabb of the skies and the earth, definitely what I am telling you is true. Innahu lahaq, it is definitely true. Mithla ma annakum tantiqoon, like how you do not doubt in your ability to speech, in your ability to speak, like that, there is no doubt that your sustenance is decreed and in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from long before. So when he hears this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by himself, then he becomes even more shocked. He says, what? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to take an oath even by himself to convince us and tell us that our sustenance is already decreed? And saying this, his soul left his body and he passed away right there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clearly illustrating that our sustenance is already decreed and it is already in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person, by little effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for him whatever was decreed for him. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to mention to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the next piece of advice. وَأَحْسِنْ إِذَا جَارِكْ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا. And be kind and be good to your neighbor. You will be a true mu'min and a true believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once was informed of a woman who would spend a lot of time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but she had this evil quality that she would harm her neighbor, she would cause inconvenience and difficulty to her neighbor. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed of this woman, then he mentioned, "Hiya fi nar." This woman is in Jahannam. In other words, this action is sufficient to make her fall into Jahannam. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told of another woman who, besides her compulsory acts, besides her obligations, then she was not involved in any other voluntary acts of ibadat, but she was kind to her neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Here fi Jannah," this woman, she is going into Jannah. In other words, this action, seemingly simple, of being kind to our neighbor, is enough to earn a person the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eternal success and eternal enjoyment in Jannah. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا. And love for one another what you love for yourself. You will be a true Muslim, a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a lengthy hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions some of the rights of a Muslim. Al-Muslim, akhul Muslim. A Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. La yadhrimuhu wa la yuslimu. He doesn't oppress him in any manner. He never ever surrenders him to the enemy. He doesn't allow any harm to come to him. Man kana fi hajati akhi, kana Allah fi hajatihi. That person who fulfills the need of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his needs. وَمَنْ فَرَّجَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً فَرَّجَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And that person who relieves a Muslim of a worry, of some problem, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him of a worry on the day of Qiyamah. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ. And that person who conceals the fault of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults on the day of Qiyamah. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice, that love for one another what you love for yourself. And lastly, the final advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تُكْثِرِ الضِّحْكِ. And do not laugh excessively. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضِّحْكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Because this action of laughing excessively causes the heart to die. And Allah forbid, if a person's heart is already darkened with sin, it is already dead with sin, then this will only increase the darkness of the heart. It will only increase the darkness of the heart and the hardness of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us the ability to practice. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَلَيْهِ.